as uncomfortable as some of you guys who had to switch it up. That was hard for me. That was there's people here who know that your seat is your seat. Anyhow, as Kun said, we're going through testimonies this month, and it is such a privilege for me to be here today because I met the most amazing woman this past month, and her name is Hosanna. And she has a story that I got her here when I was in Starbucks, and she just poured out her life story to me, and it was like God was speaking directly through her to me. And guys, you guys are in for such a treat to hear how God has directed her path in ways that she didn't even realize. She didn't even imagine it could be this way, but it was because God was with her. So I'd like to invite Hosanna up. All right. This is her. Before she starts, though, I'd like to pray over her so that her story will be something that we can receive. So God, I just pray that you be with Hosanna here. I just pray that you take anything that's going to distract her, anything that is kind of pressing in on her, that is distracting her from your story that you gave her. And I just pray that you are fully present here with Hosanna in her words, in her story, in her testimony, and in the videos, and in everything that she represents here today, Lord. We just ask that, yes, we see Hosanna because she is so amazing and she is chosen and she is a child of you, but more so that we see your power, your might, your Holy Spirit, Father, shining through her and the story, God. I just pray a blessing over her, and I pray a blessing over the congregation here as we're set to receive your word through her. In your name I pray this all. Amen.
Thank you, Pam. So, my name is Hosanna, and I'm going to share my story with you today. God is good. Amen. And when Pam asked me for a life verse that I have carried in my heart throughout my journey, and yes, I remembered that I had a story of how I got that verse, so I would like to start with that. A few years back, when I was still living a normal life in my home country, Eritrea, and that is in East Africa, it was a regular day walking back from home, walking back home from work with a colleague. We met someone on the street whose nickname was Sele Tilsi. So Sele is short for his name, and Tilsi is for Bible verse. He got his nickname because you know, every time he would have Bible verses written in small pieces of paper, he would have it in his pocket and he would just give anyone who meets. And that is such a blessing. And that day I got my verse, and that was from Proverbs 8:14. I would like to read it in my own language too. That is, wise design and good sense are mine. Reason and strength are mine. So anytime we ask God why, just remember that the reason is his. I'm just saying because I've asked God why so many times during my journey. It is not a very common verse, but I felt lightning has struck me, and I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit as I read the verse over and over again. And I didn't even know how God was going to use this verse, his word, to help me walk through the journey. I never imagined I was going to be on a year later. So my home country is unfortunately one of the countries where it doesn't allow freedom of religion among many freedoms that could be taken for granted in the Western world. Churches and mosques are strictly controlled by the government, and any kind of gathering is considered to be against the government and would have political implications. Christians in particular are persecuted, regardless of the sect they belong to. However, this doesn't stop Christians from having fellowships and gatherings. Each Saturday evening, we would meet with a few others in one person's home and have Bible sessions and prayers together, even though we won't be able to sing because we would be too loud and that we could be heard and reported. Of course, we would be very cautious about the neighborhood. We wouldn't even walk in and out of the house together or park vehicles right outside the house for fear of being reported. However, it also never occurred to me that one day one of us could be captured and imprisoned. Sorry, I'm getting emotional as I'm reading through it. So one Tuesday evening after work, I had a call from one of the members of our group telling me that our pastor was put in prison and that I needed to be careful. There was every chance that this would lead them to each one of us. And of course, we could no longer meet the coming Saturday. I didn't even have the chance nor the strength to ask anything or fully process what I've heard. I just blacked out and wasn't able to think at that moment. I couldn't breathe. I was just shocked that this was really happening. I couldn't stop thinking of the idea that if I was sent to prison, what would happen to my family and my kids so young? Immediately, I turned off my phone and prayed that God would just take this away and that this was not real. That night, me and my husband, who's here today, were not able to sleep at all. And by morning, we decided that I had to leave the country because I would not be good if I was there for my kids. If I was put in prison, then I'm no good being there. Just like that, our lives were going to change. So I had a visa to the States and left a week after this incident without any plans on what I was going to do or how we were going to be reunited again. Just trusting God that He's the mastermind and that His plan and His ways are always perfect, and yes, that He is the Almighty God. Saying goodbye to my kids and not knowing for how long it's going to be before I see them again was the most difficult moment a mother could ever bear. My boys just turned 6 and 7, and my youngest daughter was only 2, who's 5 now. At the time, I didn't even have the time to process my emotions, not until I arrived in the States, where it really hit me. I stayed in Seattle with a close friend for 2 weeks until I could figure out what I was going to do next. I would like to read this verse from Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord Himself goes before you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Yes, His word is always true, and only 2 weeks later, after lots of prayer and research and advice from family and friends, I flew to Buffalo in the States just across the border from Ontario and stayed in a shelter there for immigrants for another 3 weeks, waiting to get an appointment with the Border Services Agency in Canada. After 3 long weeks, I was interviewed at the border and was able to have a refugee claimant status. I was then living in another shelter in Fort Erie, Ontario, right across the border. Very new to the country and the system, I only had 2 weeks to find a lawyer and submit my case to the immigration for hearing, which was scheduled 2 months after my arrival. A few weeks later, I received a mail from the immigration office that my hearing has been canceled and postponed for an unknown period of time. This was the most devastating news that I was not prepared to accept. It was very difficult, for I knew it meant that it could remain postponed for over than a year, which was the common case at the time. This also meant that it would be 1 more year from when I could potentially see my family again. During this difficult time, where it was not always to keep my eyes on the Lord, I kept going back to the verse in Proverbs and remind myself to trust the Lord, knowing that He's the mastermind and that only He has the ultimate power. I believed God was going to make a way when there seemed to be no way. And as always, He had a way. For me, it was a miracle. In our lives, we expect miracles like, you know, the Red Sea opening. But of course, there are lots of miracles in our lives that we sometimes overlook. But this was a miracle that I clearly saw in my life. I was given another hearing only a month later and had all my papers to stay in Canada a few months after that. In Eritrea, doesn't sound true, but almost all men are not allowed to leave the country or even have passports. And my husband was one of them. Kids above the age of 5 are not all also allowed to have passports or leave the country. Therefore, when the time comes, we all knew that there was only one option, and that was to make a very dangerous journey and be smuggled out of the country. At the time, I was grateful that they were safe and that the authorities didn't pursue my husband. Meanwhile, in Canada, I moved to out of the shelter and started a life. I had a job and rented a room, which for the most part felt lonely and sometimes depressing, but God was in there to work in his ways. One of the reasons I wanted to live in Canada versus the States was because my big sister and my only close family lives here in Abbotsford. My sister and I, of course, were always praying that we would live in the same town, although we were very grateful that at least we were living in the same country. One day, my sister calls me and tells me of this job vacancy she had seen in the homeschoolers' website, and she was very excited about it. The vacancy was Hope for Chorus, where I'm now working with Dave and Eve. I remember the first interview with both of them. It was just beautiful. Surely it was God's intervention. I couldn't believe that I was going to be working for a Christian charity here in Canada, similar to the work experiences I've had back home. And whose whole vision and work is in Ethiopia, like my home country, or well, sort of. Because Eritrea and Ethiopia used to be one country until 26 years ago. And just like North Korea and South Korea. And so pretty much like one country. Again, another miracle. So I drove across Canada in winter to come to Abbotsford and arrived on Christmas morning of 2017. Hope for Cora has been my home ever since, and not just the place I work. Even my workmates and everyone involved this way or that way with Hope for Cora's work, and who knew my story, have been supporting me, encouraging me, praying with me and for me and my family. I tell you, there was lots of sharing, lots of tears and joy, and lots of people praying for me to be where I am at now, standing in front of you and reunited with my family. Praise the Lord. So from that, I will jump to July of 2018. I'm not sure of the exact date, but hopefully I got the month right, when our flights were booked to Ethiopia for the annual January budget meeting. Until this time, I've heard nothing from immigration or where my family's process was at. It could be a long wait. In October of the same year, God decided to surprise me in a way I never expected and never and even prayed for. You know, after 20 years of war with Ethiopia, and it's another story, there was war between Eritrea and Ethiopia for 20 years. The two countries decided to make peace and open their borders so that families could visit loved ones who have been separated for over 2 decades without requiring any passports or visas. It's just amazing, like, how sometimes we would pray for something big in our eyes. For me, it was a safe journey for my family to be smuggled out of the country. And God decides, well, there is a better way. Why don't I just open the whole border? The same month, just before my family moved to Ethiopia for good across the border, without having passports, without needing passports or visas, and a very safe journey, of course, I heard from Immigration Canada after almost 2 years. The process to come here was finally moving, although we were not sure how soon it could be before it was finalized. In January of this year, 2019, Hope for Cora's team, including myself, was in Ethiopia. I was in the same country as my family, and I was going to see them soon. This was the happiest moment of my life. I didn't at all expect to see them this way. Completely unplanned, but of course it was just because I didn't know God's plan. The same month, January 2019, I got another update from immigration while I was still in Ethiopia, and things looked like they were moving fast, but who would expect that they were going to arrive in Canada before I even make it back? Yes, a few weeks after that, we received all their immigration documents and visas, and they arrived here 5 days before me. God is good. We are now one happy family living together once again, and I'm sure God will continue to surprise us with many good things as long as we put our trust in Him. My journey may not have been an easy one, and I could have missed a lot, especially in my kids' lives, like Milka's first word, and seeing her learn how to speak, and I was not there for my father's funeral. But surely God's grace was with me, as is with all of us, always encouraging, uplifting, and consoling us when we need consolation, every step of the way. If anything, I learned to trust God's ways are better than mine. I hope people are inspired by this story, because it's a true story. I hope, as God touched my heart, even reading my own story and going back to the journey I was, I cannot believe like how God plans things and does things, and sometimes we lose faith and we lose trust. But it only reminds us that God is always there, looking over us, planning for us, doing the best for us in His own ways. So I hope that we all put our trust in God.
Before I get into a reflection, we have video footage of when she actually was able to meet with her family, which I'd like to roll right now if we could. I told you it's an amazing story, and it's an amazing woman. It's a little funny, because how am I supposed to follow up with a devotion after something like that? But I will, because I'm here. I'm going to look at her life verse and share a bit about it. Now, with her life verse, it's taken from Proverbs. So it's hard to get into like the context of Proverbs and get into like the story because it's a piece of wisdom. It's some advice given. So where the passage comes from is where God is explaining his wisdom, but it's wisdom personified to kind of indicate the interactive and the relational nature of wisdom. So this isn't just like some good advice. Earlier in chapter 8, in Proverbs, wisdom says that it will affect people to their inner core. So this isn't something like, oh yeah, these are like good steps to take, but this wisdom of God is to be like taken completely inside. And then when it gets to her passage in 8 verse 14, wisdom is kind of taking a case, taking a stand and saying, this is what's going to happen if you actually take this in 100%. This is the power of following the wisdom or trusting the wisdom of God. So when she gave me the verse, it was, she said, Proverbs 8, verse 14. I usually read from the NIV Bible, so then I got this. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight, I have power. And when she gave me that verse, she kind of chuckled. She's like, oh, it's not really that verse. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Because that's the verse that you gave me. But it was funny because like a month ago, I challenged everybody to maybe read the Bible in a different language. And so this is like the reverse way because she read it in English and she's like, this did not help. This did not help at all. It's actually not the meaning that she felt when it was like lightning hit her when she received that verse from that man on the street. And so I asked her, I said, well, can you explain to me from your language, can you translate it into English? How would you have translated this verse? And so she said, well, the first part would be that like the advice or the facilitation of life's direction, all of the plans are mine, says God. And then she said, it's like he's saying, I'm the head, I am the brain. I'm the one who thinks of it all, it's not even up to us. And then she said, then it translates to all power, therefore, is mine. And so we were flipping through some translations in Starbucks. It was kind of fun. And we got to the Passion Translation as a way to explain it perhaps a little bit more in depth how she understood the verse. So then we got to the Passion Translation, and this is what we're going to base our kind of reflection on today. It says here, you will find true success when you find me. For I, the Lord, have insight into wise plans that are designed just for you. Now you can see how this was her life verse. I hold in my hands living understanding. It's not just understanding, courage, and strength, but living understanding, courage, and strength. This verse is powerful because for her to receive it a year before she even knew she needed to seek this wisdom, to have it get to the guts of her system, to be such a part of her thinking, to guide her and protect her through the journey that lay ahead. And I think for us, this truth is something that we need to hear as well, because it's really easy to trust in God's plans when we kind of know how life is going, when we kind of know what's going to happen next week, we're kind of comfortable and there's the level of predictability into our lives. But what does trusting in God's plan look like when we have times and places that we don't even want to be at? When hope seems like a very distant dream, when we question God, how can this be happening? Like what she did. How, God, how can this be happening to me? How can trials really be part of God's good plan? We struggle to trust God in our hardest times. So reading the verse in our head, it sounds really good, but where wisdom proves its value is when we see it played out in actual lives. Because then we can actually trust wisdom. We can trust God and his plans. And so while I was reflecting on this verse, I was drawn to the story of Hagar in Genesis as a way to see this verse in action. So for some background on the story of Hagar, Abraham and Sarah, they were promised a child, but that just wasn't happening fast enough for Sarah, so she kind of tried to speed up the process and said, okay, Abraham, why don't you like conceive a child with my maidservant, and that way you've got the child that God had promised you. So obviously this wasn't part of God's plan, that wasn't part of God's promise, but Hagar conceived, she had a child named Ishmael. And it says in the Bible that even though this wasn't like the plan that God had worked out with Abraham earlier, it was still a child that he was going to bless because he was part of Abraham's line. Okay, so then fast forward a little bit, and then Sarah actually does become pregnant, and she gives birth to Isaac. Now, Isaac's a little baby playing goo-goo-ga-ga, whatever like that. And Ishmael is like a teenager, and we get this little glimpse that Ishmael was kind of making fun of his half-brother. And Sarah would not have anything of it because it was Isaac. It was her baby. So she actually said to Abraham, you need to get rid of her. You need to get rid of Hagar, this slave woman. And this is where we're going to pick up her story, highlighting Hagar when she was sent away from home. Okay, so you guys notice the background of these stories, Hosanna's story, very different. Yeah, we're on the same page for that, because I don't want to make any parallels of the background of the story. But there's so many similarities in this story about trusting in God's plan, through unknowns, through surrendering, through unforeseen circumstances. These stories, Hosanna's and Hagar's, they point to God's master plan. And they both demonstrate that the fact that somehow the blueprint that God has created and he is carrying is a way better plan than any of our scale drawings that we've made up for our life. And so while digging in this verse that was given to Hosanna, physically given, that is so cool. There's three things that came clear to me about wisdom that's given or trusting God and the wise plans that he has designed for us. So the very first thing that I kind of looked at and that came to me was that trusting in God's plan allows us to walk in wilderness. It sounds strange, but it's true. Trusting in God's plan allows us to walk in wilderness. I totally even forgot to read Genesis 21. Why don't we do that? Okay, Genesis 21, we're going to get to this actual story of Hagar in the wilderness. I was so eager to talk about like what I wanted to talk about. Okay, Genesis 21, verse 14, we're going to pick it up. It says here, early in the morning, Abraham took some food and had a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy, and she went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and she sat down nearby, about a bow shot away. For she thought, I can't watch this boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God's heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up, take him by the hand, for I will make him a great nation. And then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and she filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. All right, so we have Hagar in the wilderness. Trusting in God's plan allows us to walk in wilderness because you kind of got a feel for Hagar, right? She's just a mom caring about her son. She didn't choose that life. She didn't choose to be at odds with her master, Sarah. She was just doing what she was told to do, and she was living her life the best way she could in her circumstances. And now she was being sent to a desert, and it was beyond her control. And while Hosanna was talking, you kind of got a feel for Hosanna, because she was a mom. She's just caring for her family and her kids in Eritrea. She didn't choose to have a government that was super restrictive, that persecuted Christians. She didn't choose to be in a place where the undercurrent of fear and anxiety ran deep. She was just doing her best in her circumstances to love God and to love her family. But she too found herself being sent into her own desert of sorts, away from her family. No real plan. It was beyond her control. See, when things are out of my control, I feel really powerless. Hagar, Hosanna, you and me, we all want to follow God's plan, but how can we when all we see is desert and wilderness around us? There's no signpost showing us the way. There's no one giving us directions. We end up roaming around, not even knowing what to do or where to go. The New Living Translation translates verse 14 that Hagar wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. Wilderness, aimless, emptiness, the desert, it can be scary. When we wander aimlessly and alone, eventually, it reveals our insecurities. It validates our fears. It gives us no direction. There's a harshness to a wilderness experience that leaves us, as Hosanna had shared, it leaves us lonely, as if no one cares. So I've been reading a book by Belden Lang that walks through desert experiences of the lives of people of faith. So I've read about Moses, I've read about the Israelites, about Jesus in the desert by his temptation. I've read about Thomas Merton, I've read about St. Francis of Assisi, and all these people have been in places of desert wandering and questioning God's plan. And all these people have absolutely nothing to bring to the table, just themselves. And in every case that I've read, God shows up and meets them. See, what we see as emptiness, God sees as places to fill. What we see as emptiness, God sees as places to fill. Christine Brown, a Christian author, she wrote this: with God, emptiness does not equal loneliness. During those times when we don't have a clue what direction to go, we can let the stillness push away all of our distractions, so we sense God's presence evermore. He will calm our anxious thoughts and give us the direction we seek. And then we can experience in Isaiah 30, when it says, your teacher, your God, will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see him. Whether you turn to your right or to your left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And as hard as it is to understand, when you're in a wilderness, it might actually be the safest place for you. That doesn't even make sense when I say it. How can a desert be the safest place for us? But for Hagar and Ishmael, the desert was a blessing of safety for Abraham's family. First, it protected Hagar and Ishmael from Isaac and Sarah, but it also saved Isaac and Sarah from Ishmael and Hagar. It protected them. For Hosanna, the desert of North America was a blessing of safety for her family. It protected her from the very real fact that she too could have been taken in by the government authorities. And it protected her husband and her kids back home in Eritrea. And even though it's not the easiest plan, it was the best plan. And even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the moment, as Proverbs 8 verse 14 says, I have insight into wise plans that are designed just for you. The second thing I learned about this verse is that trusting in God's plan allows us to release our control. In verse 15 of our passage, we read that when the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. And then she went off and she sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she thought, I can't watch my boy die. And she sat there nearby. She began to sob. Hagar obviously loved her son so much. He was everything to her. Every parent knows this. Every parent breaks a little inside when they see their kids hurt. But the reality is we can't protect them from all the pain that they're going to experience in life, just as we experienced pain. Sickness, harsh words, self-destructive choices, and more. And even if you don't have kids, when you love someone so much, if it's family or if it's a friend, and you're so connected and involved with them, and you see these people that you care so deeply about, when you see them in pain, the hardest thing to do is to release your control of the outcomes. Because we want to control it all. We want to ensure their safety. We want to relieve their pain. We want to fix things. We want to be the head, the brain of the whole situation. And yet God asks us to entrust those that we care the most about into his care. And I can't imagine that being an easy task. Hagar released Ishmael to God under a tree. She sobbed. Hosanna released her family to be in Eritrea. And when she got to Seattle, she sobbed. See, when we trust in God's plan, we release our control to God. We won't have answers, we will feel torn and broken, and we will feel helpless, and we will probably sob. but somehow we come to a deeper trust in God. It's a place where we allow our deepest anxieties and fears to be known, to be drawn up outside of ourselves and placed in God's hands under a tree just a bowshot away. In Psalm 42, the author writes from this place, a place of releasing control. It says, "As the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Where can I go and meet with this God? My tears have been my food day and night. I pour out my soul." And then later in the psalm, deep calls out to deep. "In the roar of your waterfalls, all the waves and the breakers have swept over me." Releasing control to God sometimes looks like giving up. It looks like weakness. But in an act where we feel weak, it becomes our strength because God becomes our strength for us. Just as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Or just as Hosanna had told me in Starbucks, her best calculated effort doesn't even compare to what God was facilitating for her. When we're in control, it's like we put on the blinders and we dig in and we're gonna say, "I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna figure it out. We're gonna push through, we're gonna do this." But when we release our control to God, it's like we take off the blinders and we let God run things his way. "God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do." When we sang that, when we pray that, it might take a while, but we will find him. Proverbs 8, verse 14 says, "You will have true success when you find me, for I have insight into wise plans that are designed for you." And finally, trusting in God's plan allows us to experience. This is that living word in the verse. Finally, trusting in God's plan allows us to experience God's understanding, his courage, and his strength. Genesis 21, verse 17 says, "God heard the boy crying." It was the boy crying. We heard that Hagar was crying, but God heard the boy crying. "And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, 'What's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up. Take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation.'" And I like this part of the story because I'm sure Hagar thought it was all up to her. But God's plan extends so much larger than ourselves. When Hagar had no plan for her boy, when she thought it was up to her to cry out on his behalf, when she surrendered her plan and her boy to God, God was already in the bigger picture. The passage makes it seem like God heard the boy and was arranging plans for Ishmael the whole entire time when Hagar wasn't even aware of it. God understood Hagar's deepest longings, her deepest fears, her deepest worries, and was taking care of it before she even cried out. God's plan involves caring for every detail of our lives, even the details we hadn't even thought of yet. We see in Hosanna's story that God's plan extended larger than her plans. When Hosanna was waiting for flights to the right places or trying to find ways to smuggle her family out of Eritrea, when days, months went by planning to reunite herself with her family safely, when she daily surrendered it all to God, relying on his plan, God's understanding and his love and his care was experienced in miracles. The paperwork and the hearing happening just seamlessly. She didn't have to wait over a year for it. The job with Hope for Cora that God planned in advance for her and provided for her. The time of peace between Ethiopia and Eritrea. I mean, who can even plan that? God's plan involves caring for the details that she didn't even know about. Trusting in God's plan allows us to become aware that God understands us and sends us miracles as reminders of his continued dedication to us. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." God understands, he cares, he loves, and he's already working at making those paths straight. But sometimes, okay, a lot of times, it's hard to hang on to this idea of God's great plan. Because we get discouraged, especially when we feel like we've been in a wilderness for too long. And this discouragement, it can chase hope away. So many of our what-ifs come to our mind. What if this doesn't work out? What if God doesn't answer my prayer? What if? What if? What if? Proverbs 8, verse 14 says that God holds in his hand living understanding, courage, and strength. When I looked up the definition of courage, I got this. Courage is the ability to do something that frightens one, and courage is the strength in the face of pain and grief. See, sometimes when we think of courage, we think of it as the ability to do one great, amazing thing. Maybe it has something to do with our North American blockbuster, go big or go home type of lifestyle. But spiritually, I believe that courage has a lot more to do with taking a series of small steps. And what's amazing is that we're stepping into places that God has already been. Like the Israelites walking in the desert with Moses, the cloud of God went before them. They just had to follow his lead. And it didn't change when Joshua took over leadership. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." So in this passage, Hagar, she's thirsty and she's alone. She's in a place that frightened her, and she had the courage and the strength to look up past her grief and pain, and God showed her a well of water. Hagar, not knowing if she would ever drink water again because her skin was empty, had the courage and the strength to get up, weary, need and all, and fill her canteen with water. Hagar, scared for her boy's life, had the courage and the strength to go to Ishmael and give him a drink of water. Small steps, they're big steps. Hagar and Ishmael, in courage and strength, they both survived. The Bible doesn't tell us if it was hard or if it was easy, if it was full of trials or if it was a time of relief. But it does tell us in verse 20 that God was with the boy as he grew up. That's long term. He lived in a desert and he became an archer. God did not leave them or forsake them. And then to continue to live in a desert, that's to continue to trust in God's plan, taking as many steps of courage and strength as needed. Hosanna, not knowing what the future held, had the courage and the strength to drive across the country to take a job with Hope for Cora. Hosanna, not knowing if she would see her family again, had the courage and the strength to fly back to Ethiopia, to a place that had reminders of loss and hardship of her own life. But Hosanna, not sure if it was reality or a dream, had the courage and the strength to reunite with her family once again. Hosanna, in courage and strength, came up here to tell us her story of God's master plan. A side note, does anybody know what the word Hosanna means? The interactive part. Does anybody know what Hosanna means? It means God protects and God saves. God had a plan at her birth, at the naming of her, for her life. So God, taking on the person of wisdom, he says this to us. "You will find true success when you find me. I have insight into wise plans that are designed just for you. I hold in my hands living, understanding, courage, and strength." And so I hope and I pray that with wisdom, through the wisdom lived out in Hosanna, in Hagar, and in others around us that testify to God's wise plans, that we can trust God in our wilderness, that we can learn how to release our control, and that we can experience the life that bubbles up with God's understanding, with his courage, and his strength. I ask if you guys will pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your direct and your purposeful interaction and involvement in our lives. We are not a mistake. You created plans for us that have no mistakes. Thank you, God, for the story of Hosanna, for the story of Hagar, and for the story of all the people in our lives that declare that you are for us and you are not against us. And God, we pray that as you help us gather the courage to take the advice of wisdom and recognize that you are the maker, the facilitator, and the brain of the plans for our lives. Lord, we commit our ways to become your ways. We commit our plans to become your plans. God, as hard as it is, we release the control that we thought we had, and we release it over to you so we can experience the miracles and the reminders of your love for us. Let us walk into the places, God, that you've already been. I ask if you guys would rise to receive God's blessing. And after the blessing, we are going to sing one more song. In reference to Abraham and Hagar's story, a writer named Griffith Thomas, he wrote this, and I just love it. God was taking up the tangled threads of his servant's life, and he was weaving them into his own divine pattern and overruling everything for good. And so my prayer for us all is that God takes the tangled threads of our lives too and creates a pattern he has thought of since the beginning, and that we can see that it's good. People of God, receive God's blessing as you go from here. From Joshua 1, verse 9, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God promises that he will be with you wherever you go." Amen.